Tonight's study is Psalms 23. I believe that just about everyone here will agree that the 23rd Psalm is the most popular among the passages in the Bible. It's the most familiar and remembered one. Those who write about it describe it as perhaps the most beautiful and popular of all the Psalms. I believe it has brought comfort and strength to more Christians in times of need than any other passage in the Old Testament. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks to you for this time to come together in your name and be able to study your word that teaches us how we should live our lives and what we need to do to be ready for your Son's return. Father, help us to learn and grow in your word and be more like your Son in our hearts and our minds and our thoughts, our actions, and our words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. At this time, I'd like you to open to Psalms 23. I think that a lot of us here probably can recite this by memory. Let's say it out loud all together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, the rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those who write about the 23rd Psalm believe that David may have been in his later years when he was inspired to write what they call the Shepherd Psalm. The writers also say that the metaphor of the shepherd that seems to dominate the passages suggests the early days of David's life. But the content of the passage points to David being well in his advanced years. There is nothing in the passage that really answers these questions one way or the other. I have done a little research about sheep as David is recalling his days as a shepherd here in Psalms 23 to give us a little insight. Okay, I have read that sheep are about the dumbest of all of God's creations, and that at times I think we tend to act like them. I have also read that sheep are cowards and can literally die from fear and panic. You know what? All this sheep stuff reminds me of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Would you please turn to your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Okay, with this said, I would like to go through Psalms 23 and give you my thoughts that may differ from yours. Now, I would like us to listen carefully to David's words as we go through each verse. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We know that David is a keeper of sheep and understood that both the needs and the cares required of a shepherd. In the first part of verse 1 where David says, the Lord is my shepherd, to me, David is picturing himself as one of his sheep that is weak, defenseless, foolish, and David is also placing God as his shepherd. In the second part of verse 1, David says, I shall not want. I find my thoughts here are that David is placing God as his provider, protector, and basically his everything. I also believe David is showing his confidence in God's grace. David is also saying that God is doing for him what a good shepherd would do for his sheep. To me personally, as a believer, this verse means that the Lord is my Savior, and because He is my Savior, I will lack for nothing. I believe that only the Lord brings satisfaction, because in Him I have all things. Verse 1 also reminds me of the undeniable deity of the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. Again, I believe David knew sheep were stubborn and that they will stay in one place and eat until they eat down to the bare ground. I believe David also knew that sheep don't know enough or have enough sense to know when to lay down and rest. And you know what? I think we tend to be like sheep in this way. I know that at times I seem not to know when to stop and rest from what I'm doing. I'm sure that many times David had to make his sheep lie down in green pastures. And then because he was their shepherd, he would have to move them from almost bare ground to another green pasture. Again, here in verse 2, I can picture David seeing himself as one of his sheep that God cares for, watches over, and preserves. I think David saw the green pastures as the scriptures of truth that were always fresh and rich and fit food for his soul. To me, the first part of verse 2 reminds me that when I need to be moved from where I am, the Lord leads me to a place where I can feed on His Word and rest in it. Now let's look at the second part of verse 2 where David says, He leads me by the still waters. I know David also knew that sheep are afraid of moving. They are especially nervous about things that are moving close around them. So I'm sure David would lead his sheep beside still waters where they would feel it was safe to drink. I'm pretty sure that David must have been thinking about the times God guided him when he said, He leads me. And then the second part where David says, by still waters. I think David was remembering the times that God took him to a place of tranquility and had fellowship with him. I'm not sure why, but this verse reminds me of John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Let's turn there in our Bible. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. For me, I know that only God's word can satisfy my thirst. Verse 2 also brings to mind all that God does to keep me safe each and every day, along with my family and friends. Okay, let's move to verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Here in the first part of verse 3, I believe David may be thinking about the time when he was confronted by Nathan concerning Bathsheba and Uriah. We know from the scriptures that David repented and God put away his sin so he would not die. And I also believe that David was aware that there would be still consequences to come from that sin. Let's look back at the word restores in the first part of this verse. It is saying to me that I was dead in my sin, but the Good Shepherd, our Lord, restored my soul because he was willing to give up his life for us, his sheep. Now in the second part of verse 3, where David says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake, I see that here in verse 3, as in verse 2, David again is remembering how God gave him guidance when he said, he leads me. Now the second part of verse 3, where David says, in the paths of righteousness, first, let's notice here that David is using the plural form of the word path, in the paths of righteousness. I believe David is saying that whatever God may give him to do, he would do it as God leads him in love. I think David is saying that he desires God to redirect his path and save him from his sins and lead him in the way of holiness. I believe that this part of verse 3 is saying to me that I also want the Lord to redirect my path from unrighteousness to his righteousness that only he places in me. This reminds me of another verse. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of him, of God in him. I also know that if the Lord did not lead me in the paths of righteousness, I would surely die in my sins. Okay, at the end of verse 3, David says, for his namesake. I think that David is saying this to honor God and give him the glory for his guidance and care. I also want to give God the honor and glory for his guidance and loving care for me. For some reason, all of this reminds me of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Amen.
Okay, let's move to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, in the first part of verse 4, where David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I believe David is recalling the times God protected him and preserved. And I believe David realizes at this time that he can walk calmly with God, directing his paths, even through dangerous places where his enemies may lie in wait. Now the second part of verse 4 says, for you are with me. My thoughts are that David is saying that he will have no fear of any evil because God now directs his paths and is his protector. The last part of verse 4 says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here I believe David is saying that he finds comfort knowing that God has given him power over his fears and replaced them with love and a sound mind. The first part of verse 4 causes me to think about when I go through valleys that appear to me as times of imminent danger. I recall that God never promised to keep me from these valleys, but I also remember that he promised to go through them with me. Now, as we are one of the Lord's sheep, we should fear no evil because our Lord has conquered the evil one. And let me say that when I read the words, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They truly give me a welcome feeling that I am safe. Again, being one of the Lord's sheep, I know that his rod will and has protected me when I needed it. I believe the Lord's rod also keeps predators away from us, just like the shepherds of old used the rod to fight off the enemies of their sheep. Now, I think we all have seen a shepherd's staff, and it has a crook in the end of it. As I understand it, that crook is used to help pull sheep up by the neck back on their feet. I have also read that sheep are known to run off a cliff and fall to their death. I also have read that if a sheep falls and lands on its back, it becomes helpless and defenseless against predators because it cannot right itself. So when a sheep finds itself upside down, the shepherd will use his staff to put it back on its feet again. I think that in a way, when we go astray and fall down and become helpless, our good shepherd, the Lord, takes his staff and places us back on our feet again. So I believe David may have had some of these thoughts when he wrote verse 4. Now let's look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Okay, at this point, as we look at verse 5, I'm going to stop focusing on the younger days of David as a shepherd caring for his sheep. I believe here that David is now thinking about many valleys and constant shadows of death that have enveloped him during his years as king. I know that when I think about the first part of verse 5 where David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, I picture David speaking directly to God, who David envisions is preparing a table before his enemies, and he feels that it will be safe to sit down and fellowship with him. This is because David envisions that his enemies have ceased to be a threat. This part of verse 5 tells me that because we have put our trust in God's Son as our Lord and Savior, we can be assured that Jesus is preparing a table for us, and that place will represent his victory and his conquering love. Now, in the second part of verse 5 where David says, you anoint my head with oil. Okay, as I understand it, the anointing of oil in David's time was done to honor one's guests. The host would use olive oil that usually contained perfumes. Now the last part of verse 5 says, my cup runs over. Again, in David's time, an honored guest was welcome to stay as long as his cup was kept full. When the cup ceased from being filled, then it was time to go. But in the Jewish culture, if the cup was kept full, this indicated that the guest could continue to stay longer. And when the cup was overflowing, then the stay was unlimited. So what is the meaning of verse 5 to us? In my case, I begin to picture in my mind the complete work of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. And I envision Jesus preparing a place for us that will represent his victory and conquering love, and where we can feel safe to fellowship with him. We know today that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father because he has finished his work. This work was accomplished and paid in full at Calvary. To me, receiving the anointing of oil from the Lord would be extremely humbling. I think that the last part of verse 5 where David says, "My cup runs over," represents God's love and open arms and overwhelming welcome. Okay, let's go to the last verse, verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The first part of verse 6 where David says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life," causes me to think that because David knew if he followed God, goodness and mercy would follow him all the days of his life. I believe David had complete confidence in God, and he understood the promises of blessings and protections he would receive, even if he might go astray. I find that the word "surely" at the beginning of verse 6 means with certainty and to set a seal upon it. I think David understood that God's goodness and mercy in the first of verse 6 was all about him not getting what he really deserved. To me, the first part of verse 6 means that as a born-again Christian, we will receive God's goodness and mercy even when we don't deserve it. Now, the second part of verse 6 where David says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here I believe that David was now expressing his thankfulness that he will dwell in the house of the Lord among the faithful and give praise to the name of the Lord forever. I believe that when we who are born from above read these words, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," we should have an overwhelming sense of completeness and thankfulness to our Lord and Savior for his goodness and mercy and abounding love for us. And we should also look forward to being with the faithful in the house of the Lord, praising him forever. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks to you for your plan for our salvation through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, help us to place in our hearts and minds the words of David that we study tonight. Everyone here, please join with me again in Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a place in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.